Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Human Services. It is May 23rd, and I would like to open a work session on House Bill 2020. And Sandy, and I'd like to call Representative Nathanson, Jeremy Vandehay, and Janet Ahrens to, just for explanation of the amendment. Sandy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2020A, we had a public hearing on May 7th. If you recall, it requires the CCOs, or coordinated care organizations, to accept credentials of mental health and chemical dependency treatment providers found by another CCO to meet credentialing requirements and objective quality standards. Representative Nathanson pulled together the stakeholders. They came up with an agreed-upon amendment, which they will briefly outline for the committee. We do have all the appropriate paperwork for the A7 amendments. There's a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact, Madam Chair.
All right.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you very much for allowing us the time to work on this, and we did. We worked fast, we worked hard, and I believe our results were successful. What you see looks like a gut and stuff, but I want to assure you it's not because the purpose has changed. There were just there were so many words where we wanted to make a change that it was better to just redo the whole thing. We brought everyone to the table, providers, CCOs, insurers, and included NCQA in the discussion, too. Even though they're from out of state, we arranged times when we could do conference calls, and we had some very thorough meetings.
Just a reminder, could you just state the your name for the record?
I'm so sorry. Nancy Nathanson. I'm a state representative from District 13.
She's new.
Thank you. thank you. So you will notice in several places that the bill refers to national accreditation standards, and it also refers to national organizations. The group recognized throughout the discussions all last week that NCQA is a primary organization, but mentioned a number of times that there are other organizations that would be included in this process as a work group unfolds, as the department convenes the advisory committee to work on the specific details. So I understand that just about an hour ago or so, my office was informed that there was a concern that even though national organizations is mentioned generically, there would be an advisory committee, that in addition to NCQA, there is, and by the way, NCQA stands for National Committee for Quality Assurance. NCQA is a private, not-for-profit organization. It was founded in 1992, have programs in accreditation, certification, and other areas. There is another organization also, URAC. It's not an acronym. It's just called URAC now. Although UR did mean utilization review. It's an independent nonprofit organization that promotes healthcare quality through accreditation, education, and measurement programs. So there was concern, why is NCQA mentioned and URAC isn't? As it turns out, the people who are working with CCOs at the current time are using NCQA. However, that does not limit the Oregon Health Authority to consult with URAC or any other organizations and national level organizations that they need to. And in fact, Oregon Health Authority is here today to provide assurance on the record, if you like, that they do intend to include URAC in the discussions of that the advisory committee will have. However, if it turns out that any specific fine-tuning needs to be done to the statute, if it's not done today, for example, it would be quite appropriate then in 2014, as this is starting to be put in place, it could. That's certainly the sort of fine-tuning amendment that could happen in the 2014 session. one final point I'd like to make. As our conversations unfolded last week, I think we all started to realize, everyone who was at the table, that not only could we achieve the kind of efficiency that had initially been envisioned, but actually there are likely even more efficiencies that everyone was realizing they were hoping for and could be achieved. So I think it turned out that we all ended up even better off for having had that conversation. So thank you for allowing us the time and advising us to go do it.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jeremy Vandy with Kaiser Permanente. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to provide some support or testimony in support of the Dash 7 amendments to House Bill 2020. Also want to thank the committee for the opportunity to work on this over the last 2 weeks and address the concerns that I know we kind of brought in here last minute. I think the bill is a tremendous improvement. I think it's a great bill and appreciate the leadership that Representative Nathanson had and the stakeholders who came together to really quickly, basically over a three-hour period, three one-hour meetings, were able to rewrite this bill and come up with a much better product than we had, really not to change the intent, but to really better solve, I think, the problem that was trying to be solved. I just thought I would briefly go through what the bill does. Just as a reminder, basically what the bill is trying to address is that there's organizational providers, not individual providers, but programs for treatment. The Addictions and Mental Health Division of OHA licenses those folks. CCOs and health plans also have to go out sometimes and do a site visit. And so what's happening is you had multiple site visits that are having to happen, a health plan, a CCO, and then the Oregon Health Authority. What this bill is going to do is create a process to streamline that so that there's one site visit that the Oregon Health Authority will do. It's not going to require them to do more than they're already doing right now, but it's going to ensure that the ones that they do can be multi-purpose. They can function both for the needs of the Oregon Health Authority as well as for the CCOs and optionally for health plans. CCOs would be required to go out and do the assessment and provide a report of the assessment to CCOs and health plans. And CCOs would be required to rely on the visit that the state did rather than going out and doing their own. Optionally, other health plans could also rely on it just to streamline it. It's burdensome for everybody, and so I think everybody's intent is to streamline this and not have to have more visits than are necessary. They're establish a committee that would advise OHA, ensure that the assessments that are done meet the needs of the accreditation organizations, of the Oregon Health Authority, of health plans, of CCOs, and make sure that those assessments stay up to date. And then, like I said, after an assessment's done, which is the on-site visit, there would be a report. It'd be distributed so that everybody can use it. And a CCO or health plan that would rely on that report instead of doing their own visit would be immune from liability, to really encourage people to rely on this report. I think just one important note that I wanted to mention was that this doesn't impact who you contract with or force anybody to contract. It's really streamlining those on-site visits to make sure multiple visits aren't having to happen. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
So basically what the bill is doing, it's convening a committee, and they will basically sort of set up parameters.
Correct.
How the process is.
Correct.
They are not dictating the process at all.
OHA is already doing these on-site visits. The work group's going to advise OHA and make sure that the visits they're already doing can be multifunctional and can serve the needs of a CCO or an insurer as well.
And can you just go over who is a part of the committee?
Sure. So the committee will be made up of providers, CCOs and health plans that are accredited. As Representative Nathanson said, the bill talks about ensuring that you have an NCQA accredited health plan included, and OHA has said, and I think they'd be willing to come up and put on the record if necessary, that they would include URAC or other accredited organizations as well, to make sure that, I mean, really the goal here is that the standards that OHA has, to make sure that those apply for everybody, so that you don't have to have a CCO or another organization go out and do an unnecessary second visit.
That's great. Good. Because we did have regions come forward with wanting to add URAC to this bill, and from what I'm hearing from you, this is something that if we truly needed to have that, since they're not really, this was focused on CCOs, and they aren't really directly working with the CCOs on this issue, that it could be used in the future, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, Madam Chair, I would suggest the language of the bill does not prevent the health authority from including them if they choose to. So that there's no prevent, there's no prohibition in there. So.
Great. All right. All right. Any other further questions? All right. Thank you. Oh, Janet.
Thank you, Chairwoman Sanderson and committee members. And my testimony is mostly to thank people. We not only do we have a great work group that came together and pedaled pretty hard to be able to figure out a way to make all this come together and make it work, but we also had great leadership from Representative Nathanson, who convened a lot of folks who had a lot of concerns and were sometimes going at different directions. The two co-chairs, Senator Knope and Senator Shields, have been terrific also, along with the committee leadership's recommendation that people get together, get in that room, and sort things out, and we did. We're very proud of the product that we have. We think it's going to achieve every goal and objective that we originally started out with. And in addition to that, attached to my little thank you is an endorsement letter from NCQA, who's applauding the work of your committee and of the opportunities and the potential of the bill. And we're very pleased to have that endorsement after having an opportunity to include them in some of our conversations and meetings. And they have also told me, well, I asked them if they would be willing to come back during the administrative rule process, advise us, tell us what's happening in other states, help us problem solve, and come out with the best possible product from that advisory group. And they have agreed to participate if we ask them to join the conversation.
Great. Further comments? We're in work session.
Madam Chair, I move the -A7 amendment dated 5/21/13 into House Bill 2020.
Senator Cruz moves the -A7s into House Bill 2020. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Any opposition? So adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2020 as amended by the A7 amendment to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2020 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
He's one of the sponsors, so do you want to carry it?
Yeah, I'd love to. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Shields will carry the bill, and we'll close the work session on House Bill 2020A and open a work session on House Bill 2902. Sandy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2902 had a public hearing on May 9th, which required the insurer, and the bill requires insurers to reimburse physician assistants and nurse practitioners in independent practice at the same rate as physicians for the same services, defines independent practice. We do have a fiscal statement on the bill, which everybody should have on OLIS. There's no revenue impact, and you do have a -A21 amendment to the bill. How would you like to proceed with the amendment?
All right.
Chair?
Well, let's call Jack up just to go over the amendment. And Brian.
Madam Chair. Jack Dempsey, representing the Oregon Nurses Association. So you should have the -21s in front of you. Do you want me to go through these line
yes.
by line? Okay.
Yeah.
Not line by line, Jack. Just tell us what it is.
The highlights, or do you just
yeah.
the highlights.
Yeah. Reader's Digest version.
So on the original bill, it adds essentially three clauses. It adds a sunset to the reimbursement piece. The reimbursement piece that requires 100% will go into effect at the end of this year and will run for 4 years until the end of 2017. It creates a task force on primary care and mental health reimbursement. It's a 13-member task force. That will go into effect immediately. That has an emergency clause. Requires the task force to report back to the next two legislative sessions, 14 and 15. And the third piece, it says that insurers may not lower physician rates in order to comply with the bill. That's the three highlights.
And it's I hate to bring this up. In 2014, this will have been in effect 2 months.
No, Madam Chair, I would suggest
so the interim.
That with the emergency clause on the bill, if we can, it's my intention, if we can get it through this process and get the governor's signature, it becomes effective immediately, and I would intend to have a meeting of this task force before signing die.
Yeah.
And we can start making assignments of the, the data we need, and so I think by 14 we'll actually have something. You know, it won't be just the beginning.
You're
I think
right.
we'll be in the middle
and
of
I
it.
And I was mixing the two concepts, so yeah.
Yeah,
very good. All right.
And it's 14 and 15, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Because it can be reported. It's not like we expect definitive recommendations in 14.
Right.
True.
We can only hope, Senator.
It would be lovely if we did, Mr. Dempsey, but.
Okay, Brian.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Brian Bering with the Oregon Medical Association, and I just want to thank you for working with us on this. We support the Dash A21 amendment. This is a complex issue, and what it does is give some immediate attention to the issues that the ONA brought forward, but it also pulls together all the stakeholders around a table to sort this out sort of moving forward. So we think that's a good effort.
Thank you. And I want to thank Senator Steiner Hayward, Senator Knope, Senator Cruz, and Senator Shields, who have all been very involved with this bill. And I am so happy that we have these two organizations up here in a very nice kumbaya
moment. Madam Chair, I'd also like to point out that in a conversation I had with Speaker Kotek, I believe that the House is going to be absolutely okay with the amended version of this bill.
And I had a similar conversation with Majority Leader Hoyle.
And because we added the task force, it will be, from what I hear, be going down to Ways and Means, but we're going to still
we're
send
gonna,
it to the floor.
We're going to try.
But that's all right. If it does go to Ways and Means, we want this to be expedited and not lost.
I think a conversation with Senator Devlin, he can get it assigned to the sub, and you can bounce it back out pretty quick.
Madam Chair,
that's real suspension.
I actually just came from, the reason I was late is I had my regular sub co-chair meeting with the big co-chairs, and co-chair Devlin did say that by the end of next week they're going to start moving task forces, and I think ones like this will be high on the priority list. So he's totally aware of the need to expedite this. It does need to go through Ways and Means because it's a task force, and every task force is going there this year. But he's well aware of the importance of moving this quickly.
All right.
Madam
yes,
Co-chair?
Senator Chiu.
No, she's actually the chair. She's
Madam Chair, yes. Is there a commitment from both parties that this bill will not be amended in Ways and Means?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, absolutely.
Senator Shields, yes.
And I would also point out that we've had conversations with Senator Steiner Hayward and Senator Bates and Senator Winters. It will not be amended in Ways and Means.
They will accept the bill as it comes out of committee.
I have no desire to touch this bill anymore. Everybody's worked very hard.
We're in work session.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 821 amendment dated 5/21/13 into House Bill 2902.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash A21s into House Bill 2902. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, we're going to need to check to see if this is the highest number of amendments in the bill this session. It may be close.
We're tied.
Okay, and any opposition? So adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2902 as amended by the A21 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2902 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to express a conflict of interest. My wife is a nurse practitioner, but I'm supporting this bill not for her own particular situation, but because I believe that patient choice is very important, and this is critical to allowing these primary care providers to stay in business.
Conflicts noted. And any other discussion?
Just one comment, Madam Chair, relative to there was some some conflict over the sunset in the bill. It's, I think, our intention that we will have resolved this issue by 15. And so the sunset is just a marker in time. And I'd also point out that sunsets that we put on things in this body usually don't mean a whole lot. We'll either ignore them or just extend them. So, but it's a marker in time, and I think the commitment to come to resolution in a bigger picture on payment methodology is, we're very committed to that.
Any other discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have enormous respect for Vice Chair Cruz's perspective, but I would say that this sunset was carefully agreed upon by all the parties, and I wouldn't want anybody to walk out of this room after agreeing that it wasn't going to be amended any further, thinking that we didn't have a clear deal, and the whole reason was to make sure that the task force does what I know that Senator Cruz and others who are involved will do, which is to make sure that we start to think about this in a much more comprehensive way. So there was a very clear reason. If by the time we get to there, we think it needs to be extended, then we can deal with that separately.
But Senator Knope?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think not all parties necessarily agreed to the sunset,
yes,
which I think the Vice Chair noted, which I think we should note. But I think it was important, and I appreciate the work of the entire committee and those who worked on the bill to try to find a consensus product, because this was extremely controversial coming over from the House. And I think the Senate has done some really good work here, and I think everybody's to be applauded for that.
Okay.
Madam Chair, before we applaud ourselves, let's see what we do in the work group.
Okay. Any other discussion?
No, ma'am.
Okay, and we adopted the amendment, yes. So clerk will call the roll.
Senator Sanger?
Aye.
Senator Hill?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice
Chair
Cruz?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Cruz and I will co-carry the bill since we're the chief sponsors. And with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2902, and we are adjourned.
Hello.